released in 1972 and developed by Magnavox, what was the name of the first home video console? What was your answer?
It's Odyssey something, isn't it?
Yep. That means you're captain because you got the question right.
I'm not fucking captain.
Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
All right! I'm Stuart, and this month I find myself manning the customer service line of the cyber division, where we seem to be getting a lot of phone calls about refunds.
Unfortunately, there are many demands for refunds.
I have no idea what these refunds are for, but there's a lot of punks on the phone. I'll tell you that for nothing. More on that later.
And I'm Charles, and I am the crew's Christmas cookie baker and pop vinyl collector.
Try saying that 40 times fast.
And you're listening to Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. It's an interstellar gaming podcast. Charles, are you a pop vinyl guy now?
I've always had them for a while. Like, I like my certain groups, like Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Universe and My Hero Academia are my kind of collectibles.
Can we put to bed the myth that if you cut open a Dragon Ball Z character's head, there's a Dragon Ball in it? Because I'm sick of seeing videos of people clearly cutting and editing them, sawing heads off pops, and they're being like, I've seen Dragon Ball characters with Dragon Balls in their head, I've seen Pokemon characters with Pokeballs in their head, I've seen normal characters with brains in their head. It's just like...
No, I've never heard of it. And you
can
tell.
You've never seen this? It's a phenomenon.
But I'll tell you what, I have the... I'm going to start this podcast off with a complaint. I got the Dragon Ball Z Christmas advent calendar, and I was pretty excited for it, because I wanted all the little mini ones of all the cool characters from Dragon Ball Z. I am day 19, and I have 6 double-ups. So almost...
Oh my goodness.
And like basically, they're exactly the same. Same pose, everything, just the shiny. They're like the metallic versions. And I'm really getting pissed off. Like, yesterday was Goku double up. Today was Krillin double up. Like, it's in a row as well. And the Krillin is, like, exact same Krillin. And there's nothing changes except his orange gi, his martial arts outfit, is now shinier.
Okay.
So I'm actually really ticked off. I was really excited. I was like, get up in the morning. I'm like, yeah, I get to open a new one. I was all happy. And then now I'm just getting kind of, another double up. And there's so many cool characters in the Dragon Ball Z world. Like, they could, like, I haven't got a Bulma yet. I haven't got, what's the pig guy's name? I haven't got him. I haven't got Mr. Popo.
There's one fan here and he doesn't know his name. Worrying.
I can't remember. He's like such a minor character. What's his name?
Hence why they've not made a pop of him. You're solving your own mysteries.
Don't be like that. I haven't had a Yamcha. I haven't had a Yajirobe. I haven't had... They could do a Shenron. There's so many they could
Oolong.
Do. Freezer.
His name's Oolong.
Oolong, that's it. Oolong T. They could do a... Haven't had a Freezer. Haven't had a Cell. Haven't had a Boo. Haven't had a Supreme Kai. Like, there's so many characters that they could do. And they're doing double ups.
Yeah, but you know that those are targeted to people who watched Dragon Ball Z when they were in middle school and haven't kept up on it. So they're like, they don't want a fucking Bulma. They want a Goku, right?
Yeah, like, no, but I'm happy for 3 Gokus. I'm happy for 4 Gokus. But give me Super Saiyan Goku. Give me Super Saiyan 2 Goku. Give me Super Saiyan 3 Goku. Give me like casual Goku. There's like all these different Gokus they could do, but I have the exact same Goku, just he's shiny. And that's what's bugging
that's
me.
The point, but
it feels lazy on their part. Like, they've had to develop and plan to make less pop vinyls and just paint them different, because the painting part probably doesn't require different machinery. So I'm salty is what it is. And you're supposed to agree
Christmas
with me, Brian.
Everyone.
But yeah, I'm not huge. Oh no, I had quite a few. I probably have about 50 pop vinyls, to be honest, now, over the years.
Jesus Christ.
That's a lot of pop vinyls.
That is a lot.
I have 0 pop vinyls.
I have less than 50 and more than none, so.
So how many
is
that?
We've got the full spectrum here.
Right.
Oh my god. Hey, have you guys ever seen that fucking contract? Between the husband and wife, for the husband to be able to purchase pop vinyls?
No.
Let me see if I can fucking Google this and read it to you, because it's incredible.
Yeah, see, most of mine started through Loot Crate. Like, you get a bunch through Loot Crate. And
yeah.
And then I like Dragon Ball a lot. So that was the one I started collecting. And then I've been gifted other ones. And I like also My Hero Academia. So that's kind of added to, I like that series. So I've got, those are the two main ones I collect. Then I have like ad hoc ones that I've been gifted. Like, I've got a few Star Wars ones. I've got the Dark Souls one. Oh, of course, I got the Bloodborne and the Ghost of Tsushima ones when they came out. So there's like, yeah. Sony would be my third collection. I've got a bunch of like the Kratos from God of War, things like that.
I'm wondering if this contract, this pop tract is still in effect. effective as of August 1st in the year of 2016, this contract will serve as the agreement between James and Amanda regarding the purchases of Funko Pops. As of August 1st, James shall only be allotted $30 per week on purchasing Funko Pops. Monthly, James shall not spend more than the amount of weeks in a month multiplied by the $30 limit. See the monthly schedule below. Funds replenish on Fridays and are determined based on the amount of Fridays within the month. If James breaks the maximum allowance per month, James will lose that amount for the following month. For instance, if James spends $150 in August with a maximum allowance of $120, he will lose $30 for September. This weekly/monthly limit will not include the following. Gifts for others. San Diego Comic-Con Week. New York Comic-Con Week.
Oof.
Boston Comic-Con Week. Star Wars Convention Week. Oof. Any other special event where exclusive/limited pops are released, including Funko Shop limited numbers. Shipping charges for pops purchased online. Chase pops found at retail price. Any and all subscription boxes/specialty boxes related to them. Amanda buying any pops at all. Special circumstances. If James sells any current possessions, pops, WWE figures, movies, games, etc., this money can be added to an emergency pop fund account that James can spend as he pleases. If James buys pops for anyone else, that money will not be counted toward his weekly allowance. If he gets cash from recipient, this will simply go back into his regular money account. If he receives pops in return from Nick, they will be taken off of his weekly purchase amount due to a non-transfer of money. Unused pop money within a month will go to James's emergency pop fund. Then there's a big table of the money allotted per month. Goes from August 2016 to July 2017. So I guess this was just a one-year contract. They probably had to renew it in August of 2017. But the two signatories are James, addicted popper, and Amanda, concerned wife. Funko Pop tract. Hey, right, like, really, like, this dude just fucking, like bent his wife's arm and was like, yeah, you're just gonna let me buy however many fucking Funko Pops I want.
Yeah.
This is her reining him in as well, it seems.
Right. Which is pretty terrible.
The fact is, like, 30 US, I'm assuming it's US dollars, you can buy two or three at least a week.
Yeah, three.
I think they're usually around $15 here.
I thought
range between 10 and 15, but he's obviously after, like, the harder ones.
Right, yeah, he wants, like, the expensive ones. I'm just going to go to, let's see, anime Funko Pops.
Well, put it this way, after tapping my head, the Master Chief first one is sitting at about £150 to £180 right now.
I'm looking here at the anime Funko Pops, and it does look like they are about $11 per Funko Pop. So yeah, about three of them per week.
Which is a lot.
At retail price. Or he could buy the 10-inch Shinron Dragon Ball Z Pop Jumbo for $30.
I
don't have any of the ones. I don't have any big.
Yeah, I've got the Shinra.
No, I tell a lie. I've not got any of the super supers. I've only got a Cyber Demon who's a oversize.
Yeah, the Shinron that's is
oversize.
Is oversize. It's not a super massive one. It's just oversized.
Well, now there's the super ones, isn't there?
You can get like, yeah, those are ridiculous.
It's like 4 foot tall or something, isn't it?
It's like a small child.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not into those ones.
Black eyes, but like a shark.
Most like all my Dragon Ball Z ones, most of them I've taken out of the boxes, so they don't take up people.
Blasphemy! Blasphemy!
Yeah, you'll never get your money back now, Charles.
I don't care.
No, to be fair, pops are designed to take out the box, really, because it's quite an easy thing to pop them. to take them, I almost fell into the pop trap there and said pop them out the box.
once you pop, you can't stop.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I've got five.
So here's a
five. I've got five out of box. Oh, no, yeah, I've got about five out of box.
So. Here's a comment thread from the Reddit post where this pop track was posted. Someone says, "I think you got off easy there with all those exceptions, lol." Someone else replied, "This is a sweet deal. This dude must be a lawyer or just got a big peen." He replies, the original poster replies, "Middle school guidance counselor, actually, but damn good at being argumentative, lol. Regarding the second comment, I'll leave that alone, lol." And then he says, "The emergency pop fund was a whole other animal to conquer. She wanted the leftover money to go in the bank. By doing it this way, if there are a few lull months of collecting, the emergency pop fund can go towards a grail." People who y'all clearly know more about Funko Pops than I do. What are like some of the chase Funko Pops that exist?
Depends what your series. Depends what your series is. Each series has a grail. If you know what I mean, I would say.
Okay, so what's Charles? What's the Dragon Ball Grail?
I have no clue.
Really, what we should say is what's the Grail you own? What's the Grail you would say? What's your holier than thou that you've got sitting in your collection right now that you're kind of like, I am proud of this item.
All I know,
some money.
All I understand with the Chase ones is that they might release
slightly different.
Yeah, it's like a
Chases are slightly different.
Yeah, and if you order it, you're supposed to get a random chance of getting that.
Never works that way.
But I know, but I'm not interested in that. Like, I want it because I think that's a cool character and I don't care. So I don't really keep track of that.
So
I
have to tell me you could be sitting on a gold mine here and you just don't know it?
Yeah. They, well, the thing is, now they release so many of them. It used to be. Some of the, there is a,
it's the explosives, a Dragon Ball, that's where the money is.
There's a Dragon Ball Z one from like when very early on that's worth like a few thousand, I believe. But it's because when it wasn't very popular, they already made a few. Whereas now, when they release a one, they release heaps because they want everyone
right,
to buy
them. Right, they release 10 million of them, so that everybody can buy them.
Yeah, there's like, yeah, really early Dragon Ball Z one that's worth a lot. I've got a Tracer that's supposedly worth like $50 or something, which I got through Loot Crate. Like, it's an alternative color.
Oh, so it's the green and black one?
Yeah, it's exclusive to Loot Crate.
Remember them?
But yeah, I don't know. I don't really keep the track of it. A lot of them I buy on special, or they've been gifted to me, or it's Dragon Ball Z, and so I end up buying it because he's got flames around him this time.
I think I've got three that I would take out the house if my house went in fire, but the rest can burn. So
I'm reading a thread about Dragon Ball Z grails on Reddit right now, and I just need to go lay down for a while. So I'm going to let you guys record the rest of this episode by yourselves.
The day loads, like, I know like Toy Tokyo get exclusive chrome. I know the Dragon Ball ones especially are prone to the chrome editions. So you get like super chrome Vegeta, who's blue.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, they're just shiny. They're not even chrome. Yeah. They're just shiny.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of exclusive just to the Dragon Ball line, because I don't... Well, tell a lie, they did the gold chrome Marvel ones that I know, but I think...
Yeah, and they
like
did
the red chrome
Marvel.
Yeah.
So are they the shiny one, the metallic skin ones?
I posted an image in the Discord, if you guys want to look at the image that I'm looking at here.
Yeah, yeah, so those are metallics. Chrome's yeah. different. Chrome's just they're just all gold.
Are they just silver or gold? Yeah,
yeah. I've got a gold Vegeta. So that's what they've kind of done with those. I believe they might be the chase, so that they'll have a normal version of that Freezer. But then there's a chance if you order it from an online retailer that you'll get the gold the shiny version.
The base level chase is like, I've got Sergeant Johnson standard, who just stands there looking good. The chase, he's got a cigar in his mouth. Yes, that's what the chase is. Yes, I know. So, although, the other example is, I've got Tron, and I've got the Tron chase. And the Tron one is just standard Tron who goes in the dark, who's cool. But the chase is, he's blue chrome, and he goes in the dark, which is even cooler.
Yeah,
because they go in the dark chase.
I see that there's people who will order, like, if there's a chance for a chase, they'll order like 10 of them and then sell them, try
boxes,
and sell them off.
Boxes, yeah. Scalpers. There's a lot of scalpers in it. Like, it's.
Well, they'll try and sell.
Like I say, it's the ones that are case specific to places. So, like I was saying, the three I've got is like, I've got the Best Buy Arbiter, which is like insane because technically I should never have got that in the first place, but it's like. It's got a Best Buy sticker on it, and he's gold. It's pretty rare. I've got the E3 exclusive Chief, who's in camo, who's, again, is an E3 sticker on it, which is really cool because it's E3. And I've got they did like an event that went to five cities called Halo Outpost, and you could only buy this pop at the Outpost. You couldn't buy it anywhere else. So yeah. There's a limited number because they only took, I think it was like 1,000 or 500 or whatever pops to each event,
yep.
And it's got the Halo Outpost sticker on it. So technically, this is the thing as well. Like the E3 one, you can buy as a special edition with a special edition sticker, but it's not the E3 one. It's the fact that that one I had came through the convention center in LA. It's like, well, now we're talking. You know what I mean? Because it's just got a wee sticker on it. It's like, but yeah, it's my wee. It's cool. It's looking for E3.
Well, see now they've kind of. They still do that. Like, they'll have the Comic-Con, like that picture you posted, Brian.
Mm.
You could see the little Comic-Con picture. Whereas even here in New Zealand, we get, on the same day they're released at the event, like the San Francisco Comic-Con, they'll release them in the local stores. So that you can buy them in a local retailer around the world. Like, in New Zealand.
The shared exclusivity ones are never as... They're like a kind of con, because it's like, yes, you can get them at the event, but you can also get them at Best Buy or Goodwill or...
In New Zealand.
Barnes & Noble
or
something
like that.
It
used to be the case that you could only get them at that event, whereas now it's more of it's the release day, and it's more exciting to find out what's being released, but they're not as rare. You just could go to...
So I guess a follow-up question then about that is, so say you had gotten this shiny Vegeta... That's a 2015 exclusive San Diego Comic-Con or whatever. When you get it, do you also get it with that sticker on it that says that it's a Comic-Con exclusive?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so it basically looks exactly the same as if you went to the con and got it yourself.
Yes, so like I've got...
Collecting shit is fake.
Oh, heck yeah. Mm.
There's no fucking real shit about collecting. Like,
it's false demand.
I say that as someone who collects like magic cards and other shit. Like collections are fake. Like, throw away all your shit, sell it, make money, get your money, and fucking
burn it now.
Fucking buy, like, a vacation.
I think you'll find I like collecting dust on top of collecting things.
Real good at it.
I'm really good at collecting that dust.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I've got a couple. I've got a few of the ones that are released as part of the event. And as I say, they'll, like... become available at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so like EB Games will put them out. They're told they're only allowed to put them out at a set time. It's because when they're revealed at the Comic-Con overseas. But yeah, they have the sticker, but it's more, I like it because of the characters. Like I like seeing different Gokus. I've got like all Goku's transformations, except I don't have Goku Black. So I've got like I don't have a Super Saiyan 3. I don't have a Super Saiyan 3 yet. But, yeah. And I just like
Santa, if you're listening.
I just, yeah. I like them because I like Goku. And I like Dragon Ball Z. It's not so much the pop vinyls.
Yeah, that, I get that. I mean, like, I definitely, like, go through looking at $600 statues of Goku phases here and there, so.
That's the thing. It's a cheaper way to collect. Some people really hate the Look of Pop vinyls, and I don't think it works for all characters.
Yeah, that's me. I don't like them.
But that's fine, but it's a cheaper way to get a cool kind of little figure.
It's an affordable way to collect, yeah.
And it's plus, also...
Depending on what you collect, if you know what I mean. Like,
yes.
If you collect, like, I'm not a fan of the human ones, so like, say like Game of Thrones, they're very much a muchness to me. They just look like fucking armor with black eyes, like a shark black eyes. But if you collect, like I collect the Hell ones, they're all wearing helmets. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a bit more passable, or like aliens. They're not quite as generic. Like, The Office, I collect The Office range. Like, here's a man in a suit, because that used to be quite funny. Was a YouTuber I used to watch used to put up generic pops for, like, series that, like Good Girl and fucking shit like that.
Where it was just, like humans, just regular-ass humans.
Yeah, who's this? And you'd look at it and you'd be like, could be anybody. It's just a guy in a suit. Do you know what I mean? And whereas, like, when you pull a Dragon Ball guy out of the bag, you're like, oh, it's a Dragon Ball guy, or you pull, like, something a bit more, like Tron. Tron looks like Tron, and there's the fine line. That's where, like, the Doom guy looks like the Doom guy, because he's in a helmet. You know, the Cyber Demon's a monster. It looks like a monster. You know, it's...
Yeah, well, see, I think the Anime ones work for me, I think, because it's really clear who they are, and I think it just... cartoon style works, and so those are the ones I tend to prefer. But yeah, as I say, because I like Bloodborne, I got the Bloodborne one, and because I like Dark Souls, I got the Dark Souls one, and because I like Ghost of Tsushima, I got the Ghost of Tsushima one. So I had my PlayStation.
Sure, the Death Stranded one. I saw the Death Stranded one.
I enjoyed Death Stranding, but it wasn't like a special game to me. Whereas obviously Bloodborne and Ghost of Tsushima are a lot more relevant to my interest, and so yeah, it's things that generally really tickle my fancy. I'll get them, but I get why people don't like pop vinyls. But yeah, I kind of do. So, people can hate on me if they want. Yeah, see, that's a cool statue.
Yeah, see, that statue is $600. That's the kind of things that I look at when I'm like, when I get obsessed with something. I'm like, what if I spent $600 on a Dragon Ball statue?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, stuff like that, or like Hot Toys and stuff, you know what I mean? You kind of like $400, $500 for a Hot Toy, and you're like, it's a fucking hell of a nice thing, but in your mind, you're like, it's like $500 fucking...
Right, for a fucking statue, like...
Whereas I can get like a tiny wee thing for a tenner, and I can get you might have 50 of them that cost $500, but in your head, you're still like, yeah, I'm still not paying $500 for this thing.
Because it's 50 little things instead of one big thing.
Yeah, but that one big thing is like super bit awesome, you know. You're like, can't justify a big statue, but can justify tons of loads of shite.
Yeah, but it's little bits of joy along the way. Anyway, I have the Instagram
Welcome
as well.
Welcome to Pop Galaxy. Our podcast about pops.
I also justify it is because Odin and I have our Instagram where we take pictures of the pop vinyls and stuff, and so it's all kind of just part of our branding.
Sure.
So having something else to share rather than one statue, there's only so many pictures of one statue you can take. So
that's why you buy more.
And then it's more than just 500. But yeah, that's the pop vinyl update. Where were we at?
Oh my goodness. I have a quick update, actually.
Yep.
Look at this. So, this is video game related. Yoshitaka Amano did a Harley Quinn cover.
Oh, yeah.
And look at how fucking good this is.
It's very his style.
This makes for great audio.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Beep it into your heads right now, guys. Shut your eyes, even if you're driving. We're beeping it in.
I'm gonna text former guest Joe. I don't remember if we said his last name or not. Former guest Joe, right now, and tell him that he needs to get me one of these.
Yeah. So, Amano, he's the Final Fantasy concept artist,
yes.
Isn't he? Yep.
Yes.
Just who people know what we're talking about. So it's very much his style. If you've seen his work, it's really stylized and very not Japanese looking.
But beware that it's going to be just the cover he's done. I don't think he's done the internals, has he?
No, yeah, it'll just be the cover. It'll just be the alternate cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks very much like Aerith from the Final Fantasy concept art.
Anyway,
another dark rabbit hole to fall into comic books. We're not going there.
I just, I saw that and had to comment on it because very good. Anyway, let's talk about video game news and stop talking about Funko Pops because they make me want to lay down and die.
That cover's no release till March, so you'll not be able to get it really till early February, I would say. Want to watch for.
So the news.
So let's talk about the biggest one. So how about
Among
how about
Us
the Cyberpunk?
Is getting a fourth map.
Among Us is getting a fourth map. How about that Cyberpunk?
Don't know. Never heard it. Tell us more.
apparently it's bad. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
It's not bad.
Apparently it's bad, and there's
a lot of complaining going on.
There's a lot of complaining. A lot of gamer words are being said. And the gamer words took Cyberpunk off of the stores, I guess.
Yeah. But you still can buy a hard copy. That's a gray area, people. That's a gray area.
You can buy a hard copy, but you can also return your hard copy, apparently.
Well, yes. And
that's
even
a gray area as well, because
apparently
certain UK laws dictate that by the time that if you bought it at launch and by the time that was said, it was beyond the return, like the mandatory return phase. So it's a bit like, apparently all the refunds are just digital, I think they know. Because that's like, well, fair dues, good times.
Yeah, I've been told I could take it back. But the funny thing is it's a PS4 and Xbox One recall. But because that's the only versions they sold, even though I'm on the PS5, I still could technically take it back. I'm somewhat tempted to, because I am kind of getting bored by it. So,
I find it funny that certain people now are asking for refunds and then they're complaining because Microsoft, the Xbox, are locking them out of the game because they don't own it anymore. It's like, what did you expect? You've asked for your money back,
that's bad.
You then lose the product. It's not like you get the product and then you also get your money back. No.
Yeah.
The core idea of what a refund is wasted upon these people.
So yeah, I guess we should explain what's happening for people who are living under a rock and haven't heard about this. The game released on previous generation, and the previous generations can't actually handle the game.
Because they didn't show it running on the previous generations until it was released, which again is a bit...
cheeky.
Suspect. Yeah. It's like, yeah, by the way, this is actually, it's not actually running. They only showed it running on the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. They never showed it running on the Xbox One or the PS4, which, well, in theory, that's what the games are for, you know. But
it really should have been.
Yeah, it seems.
Should have been an
X-Gen. It seems they also
release.
They lied to Xbox and Sony about how they'd have the game up to spec to run, and they didn't, which is, again, a major issue.
How much is it the publisher trying to push, or is it the developer that's...
Well, it's an indie thing, isn't it?
I thought
Project Red's an indie firm.
Isn't Namco
they're
involved?
They're using them as distribution, but I don't think they've kind of put their hands up and walked away from this.
Oh, really?
And I'm not saying a word. Yeah, it's all CG Projekt. They partnered with Namco for distribution, but I don't think Namco and that band... Blah, 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 blah. Bandai Namco have got any actual input into any of this. I think they're just like, by the way, guys, we'll ship your game for you because, you know, we did The Witcher and it made us thousands and millions of pounds. So they're like, we'll do it again with Cyberpunk. And they're like, oh no. By the way, Beautiful Katamari Disc Amassi re-rolls it. Yeah, Beautiful Katamari. Hey, it's better game than Cyberpunk. Don't look here. Look here. Balls. Princes. Universe. Yay. Not this Keanu Reeves stuff. Not this. No. It's just a... As a great man once said, the hype train...
leads to the station of disappointment.
Although this time it didn't just lead to it, it went right through the fucking
it plowed power through the
at the end. Crashed. There's thousands dead. Carriages spread for miles. Forest fire caused. Actually, one of them sunk a boat off the coast.
It was transporting fucking, nuclear warheads.
Yeah, it's a true... It was actually transporting dumpsters and they're now on fire.
it was transporting 2020.
What is the most beautiful, refined version of 2020 in physical media? Cyberpunk. It is just a cacophony of calamity, and it is like between the seizure thing and between the devs saying how can we make a game about fighting evil corporations when technically we work for one, to lying to Xbox and PlayStation, to having it pulled, to fucking a million and one bugs and glitches, to just the CEO saying it runs great on the fucking hardware a week before launch, and then, whoops, you lied, you motherfucker.
That's the thing, they've lost all street cred, which is funny, because that's one of the stats millions. You live off in the game. Like no one's happy with them. Whereas they had so much goodwill after The Witcher 3. And that's
well, it backfired a bit because it was like less than like 4 days after the game launched, or 3 days, they're like, this is the biggest like 10 million pre-orders or something. It was insane, the number, right? And it's like, how much of that money have you just bled out? Do you know what I mean? Plus, it's people are saying, what are they going to do to retribute the people who are sticking with it? Like, are we going to get basically a whole expansion pass for free or whatever? Do you know what I mean? Because they need to kind of have some kind of... I know you can get a refund, but see people who are like wanting to stick with them and stay loyal, are they going to give them some kind of like compensation, you know? I know they already said there was going to be a free DLC plan similar to The Witcher where you get lots of wee tiny bits of DLC, but...
So they need to do more. So they do more like No Man's Sky, where they actually do free updates.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't disliked it, but I can't say I'm a huge fan of it. So I'm tempted to like, maybe I should just take advantage of this refund. But then I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a dick move. I should really. It works fine for me. I should actually. I still feel sorry for them a little bit, even though they've dropped the ball drastically. But I still want them to succeed because they have done some cool things in the past, and I want them to make it right, and I want them to be able to still survive past this. Whereas the way it is now, how are they going to, losing all that money, 8 years of development, like, how will they survive?
I tell you what's going to happen. They're going to end up a shadow, and then a big company is going to come along, or Microsoft, and they're going to open their wallet, and they're going to go, give you a tenner. And we'll take it all off of you. And in brackets, Cyberpunk was an Xbox exclusive for like 4 hours today. They'll just buy them. Someday will just buy them. And I know they'll probably not want to do that, but I think it's really the only thing that the future holds for them.
I can't
because the next thing will come.
Yeah, I can't tell they have enough cash.
They'll start laying off staff.
Yeah.
That's what will be next. Do you know what I mean? It'll be like CD Projekt Red sacks 300 people in the wake of the Cyberpunk debacle.
Yeah, I can't see how they have enough money to keep going. Like, if they're getting that much refunds happening, I can't see that they would be able to survive.
The only saving grace is if the PC version stays with them.
That's true.
It's strong.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be a lot of sales on PC.
But then it's also... Well, it's not epic. I'm assuming the PC version is very similar to what the Xbox Series X version is like. So it's a pleasantly passable experience, you know.
Well, the PS5 version has no scales. Like, the graphics aren't very good. I'm sure the PlayStation 5 could handle a lot more. But I'm running the PS4 version, which is very dumbed down. Everything's very muted. Very low detail in the world. So I'd be nice.
Yeah, I've seen some very funny, very funny comparison screenshots of the PC version compared to the Xbox or PS5 version.
So, yeah.
So or PS4 version on PS5, I guess.
Yeah. The Xbox apparently has one, you can change it from, like, to higher performance mode or graphic mode. Yeah. It has that toggle, whereas the PS5 version, 4 version doesn't. So
I just dropped half a dozen, couple of screenshots that I've took in the game into the chat, and it looks like some of them look pretty, like, I'm not an in-game photographer, but I think they look pretty decent, you know what I mean? It's not like the game's, if the game was daft, I don't think you'd be able to produce stuff like that, you know what I mean? And you would never know, you know?
Yeah,
I know, like, the texture bottom thing's a problem in that, you know?
Yeah, see, I'm not getting anywhere near that kind of level of detail on the 5. And that's not the 5. That's not a... It's because it's the game's not allowing
it. But this is the thing, you're playing it backwards. Like, that version's backwards compatible. Your version's backwards compatible. You know what I mean?
The Xbox Series X has a toggle where you can upgrade the graphics.
Yeah, you can. Well, it's basically you can either go performance or what's the other one? It's performance or quality. I think it's called.
Yeah.
Basically, it drops one of them ups the quality. Obviously, drops the one ups the quality, but drops the frame rate. The other one drops the quality, but ups the frame rate. Yeah. But I think there's an undercurrent argument before all this blew up and stuff. There was an undercurrent argument that basically Cyberpunk is a next gen game, and they're trying to shoehorn it on to last gen hardware.
Yeah, because they wanted the sales.
It's made a really good argument that you can't have a cross gen game between last gen and this gen. And I think it also pokes holes in the Xbox mantra that you have a box, you can play anything on that box.
Yep. I agree.
You know what I mean? I think there's a kind of the kind of ripples that this will cause carry on for some time, and I think it's good that we're, well, in a way it's good we're getting this out the door like less than 2 months into the new gen, you know?
Yeah.
Because technically if that's what we're pushing for, then I think it's a decent one game on the Xbox Series X, but I just think at the end of the day, why not just do it as an exclusive for the next gen and leave the last gen version to down the line, like once you're refined it, or at least get the last gen version working, you know? It's a really bizarre situation, you know?
It's chasing the payday. That's the problem. Like, they said,
well, they should have delayed
million.
It again. You know, would an extra 6 months,
they might
would an extra 6 months really have hurt it? No. Hype would have kept building and building and building and building and building. Because technically, in that 6 months, you could have released the Netflix show, which would have helped build the hype and build lore. And because Netrunners is coming, so like that's a thing, and you wonder at yourself now, like, how are they guys going to feel? They're sitting going, we've got a TV show linked to an IP that's absolutely burning a hole through the core of the earth now.
But they also, great, they double down on the merch, and it's just so ridiculous how much stuff's out there for a new IP.
As I said to you on previous casts, imagine buying that £400 gaming chair. Yes, it's really nice. But you've got a 400 gamer chain for a game that's total toot. Now, I said back then that it's a gamble paying that much kind of money for like a headset or a mouse or a chair or a console. But then, as folk were saying, it's really funny because folk bought that limited edition Xbox console, the Xbox X1, right? And the game can't even run on it. It's like, it's ironic at the highest caliber.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Irony, even.
Well, that's the thing. They traded in selling 10 million copies on previous generation to if it was just PS5 and Xbox Series, then it would be 500,000. It'd be a drastic cut in their sales, and they were chasing dollars. They're chasing that money bags, and that's the problem. And I get why, because if you can sell a few units over millions of units, but what they should have gone is for the long game. They should have gone next gen, apologized, but it's next gen, and over, just like GTA 5 sold lots of them as more people bought the console. It being like a keystone of this generation, where PS5, if you buy a new PS5 2 years from now, you're going to buy Cyberpunk because it's that good. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. It relied on the long game and not the short game.
Build the legacy, basically. Why no? Here's a crazy idea. Just release the PC version and say the console version's coming in a year's time once it's all up and running. You know what I mean? Aye, it would have sucked, but let's look at Disco Elysium. It's going to be coming out in consoles next year if they've been out on PC for a year, and I'm sure it'll do gangbusters because it's a really good game. Quality content is king, and it never, as long as you're putting out quality content, it will find a way. It's like dinosaurs in a way, but it's just a case of, like, I get the point, everybody wanted it, the hype was there. I'm sure CG Projekt Red were under a lot of pressure for what they'd created. And I think at the end of the day, it's just a case of they pulled the trigger too soon. And we're now staring down the barrel of probably the most destructive game release that I can remember. Death Stranding was even this bad.
Speaking of releasing the game too soon, do you think that there's something to be said for the demand, the reaction to every time they announced a delay,
but
to making them feel like they needed to just push this game out and be done with it? I'm not trying to like justify anything for them. I'm just saying, like, do you wonder if maybe there was something to that? And so far as
the flip side, I would argue is like I'm a Halo fan, right? It's my fault. I was born that way, and like. We saw the Infinity. Infinity looked like shit. I said it looked like shit on day one, right? We've had the whole Craig discussion. I look better than Infinity. That's a fucking feat, right? And then they're bringing out all these, like, the back of the X has got Chief on it. What's the fucking point? You're bringing out adverts where you've got Master Chief with a cat head. Like, fucking stop making fucking adverts and using Chief to promote your product and actually build the game, right?
Well, it's been delayed, isn't it? It's not until 2022.
Well, it's been delayed again. Right, but at least there's hope, and the problem is that it's widely populated that they're changing background staff, right? And but inside I know that the longer we go, like it's 7 years and counting now, right? But the longer we go, the more chance we've got of getting something we really want, whereas the shorter, say if they were to come out next week and go, oh, Halo Infinity launches on Tuesday, I'd be like, oh no. And that's the kind of thing with Cyberpunk. Like, every time Cyberpunk... I think Cyberpunk needed to be more transparent. I think Cyberpunk kind of put up a kind of a wall. And like, here's footage, and here's... Like, as I say to the devs, I say to them, like, do you not think you're misleading people by showing it as an FPS? Because technically you're showing all FPS action footage. But then when you had critics, they're like, I'm sick of people calling it an FPS, it's an RPG. And you're like, but... CG are not showing it as an RPG. They're showing it solely as an action first-person shooter. And that's, I think, a kind of a pure black-and-white example of where the marketing failed them. And instead of coming out and saying, what, guys, we're delaying it because it's running like fucking horse shit or that, or maybe releasing a shitty trailer and going, look, guys, this is the state we're in. We need to work on it. Because, to be honest... It took 7 years. You can see the amount of text you have to read through in that game. Like, it's unholy.
It's
like
ridiculous.
Fucking encyclopedia. Like, for text messages to shards to every cunt just wanting to get you stuff to read. It's like, Jesus Christ. But it's so rich in lore. I've got a collector's strategy guide up this year that would kill a donkey if it fell on it. It's like, there's real world there. And I totally believe that to build real world takes time. It's just they should have had the tech boys working hard. And I think if they were more honest to say, guys, we've built this world, we've built this. Here's a TV show, he bides out, he teaches all about Night City and stuff, or here's a web comic, or just some, here's a podcast or whatever, you know what I mean? Instead of like, by the way, this is fabulous, and what's it gonna be like? You know, and here's the gangs, and here's the weapons, and here's the vehicles, and everything's great, and here's Keanu Reeves, and oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Oh, chocolate when they melt in our mouth, you know what I mean? And to be fair, if you look at the lead up to launch, there was never a bump in the road for them. It was always sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. And then they launched, and the cold, hot, white of day hit them, and they melted. They melted like that Wicked Witch of the East when a bucket of water was thrown on her, because it's just a fucking con. It's all smoke and mirrors. And it's just like, He's dagged your own grave. You dug your own grave, and a part of me doesn't feel sorry for them. Do you know what I mean? Hmm. Whereas, if you look at 343, at least 343 is like, yeah, guys, here's a trailer. It looks like shit, mate. It really looks like shit. And everybody's like, that looks like fucking shit. And then they're like, right, guys, we're delaying it. And you're like, right, I know why you're delaying it. Guess why? Because it looks like shit. Do you know what I mean? And that's the kind of flip side of it, isn't it?
Yep, I agree. Delays are good. They should happen. I don't know. But are you enjoying playing it?
Yeah.
Like, that aside, all the bad
countries. I love it. The Xbox Series X version is, for me personally, is rock solid. I've had a few issues, but nothing major. And I'm just loving, like, exploring the city, doing missions, finding Easter eggs. I've issues with the game. I feel the main story is basically, like, you're in this Ubisoft-style world where there's 101 things to do, but the main story is, like, by the way, give me your hand, and then it grabs you and just runs, and it's like, fuck, oh, I don't want to stop, no, can I stop, I need to keep going, and it's like, let me stop and smell the rainbows. And then if you actually start doing side missions, you kind of go to yourself, I'm 52 hours in it now, and I'm like, I've spent like 5 hours, 10 hours out in the Badlands doing missions, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I've got a chip in my head that's fucked, that's killing me. Don't worry, I'm going to do some more side missions for another 10 hours, you know what I mean? And
it's counterintuitive, thematically it's kind of broken.
Yeah, and what I was thinking was, see if they'd done it cleaner, like, the intro, but the intro is like a 5-hour intro, really, it takes 5 hours to get the kind of title screen, right? It's incredibly well done, I think, the intro, right? Why could they no do the campaign? So you do the intro, you get the intro screen, right? And then why no do the campaign for another 5 hours, maybe 10 hours, right? And then at the end of that, open up the city to everybody. And it would make more sense, because it means you're playing... that first section's very laser-focused, very story-driven, very cinematic in some respects. And then you're kind of went, right, here's the keys to Night City, go away, and then it's this kind of clash of, like, I want to do things and mess about, but at the same time, I want to do the main story with Keanu Reeves and all of that, and it just doesn't gel with you until you kind of go to yourself, well, I'll put the main story at the back of my mind, and I'll just spend a day doing shit for people. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit, that's the only problem I've got, is it's a bit tonally deaf in some respects, but other than that, it's good. I'm really surprised there wasn't a mere kick up about, like, the customization and stuff in it and all that, and like certain things, because I kind of spoke about how, like, it's kind of strange in some ways, and I'm sure that'll come after. That's mini forest fires compared to the big forest fire, you know. But I get this. I'm enjoying my time with it, but I know I'm in the minority of people, do you know? So.
Yeah, I haven't disliked it, but I found it very disconnected the way it presents. Like, yeah, as you say, you're supposed to be kind of doing the main missions, but also you're supposed to be doing all these side things, and I find it really strange. Your character, I went street kid. You're supposed to be a character who knows the streets, knows the city. It's your city. And I just have no clue what's going on.
That's the thing as well, is you don't have any... personally, I feel like everything's doing its thing, but I don't have a place within the thing.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
But you're supposed to be connected, and it's very in your face, like, people are constantly calling you, whereas, like, other, you know,
which... when you go to district, how annoying is that? Like, you drive into a new district, and it's like, ring, ring, who's that? Yeah, V, I'll be your fixer in this thing, I've heard about you, and you're like, I've never been here, and I've never done anything, because I've just started this, you know what I mean?
It's really in your face.
Who are you?
Whereas, like, the Witcher, like, there was lots to do, but when you go to a town, like, you see, oh, this person might have a quest, or you can go to the notice board, and you choose to engage with the side stuff, whereas the side stuff's just getting thrown at your face, like, it's constantly, and I guess that kind of works, like, story-wise, but, like,
I mentioned in my kind of my summary, I say, is like, I'm a believer now that people get anxiety for these kind of games, where if you open a map, we've spoken about it before, it's Ubi syndrome, right, where you open a map and there's literally thousands of markers. It's not like it gently takes your hand and goes, right, here we go, here's some main missions, here's some side missions, here's some things. No, it's like, here's everything. Oh, and by the way, sees you level up, here's even more things. And sees you do more things, here's even more things. Oh, by the way, there's missions connected to missions within missions that are missions that are missions that you might mission a mish. Yeah. And you're like, shit.
It's very overwhelming.
Because my brother played it today, and he was doing a crime scene thing, right? And he ended up getting a shard, read the shard, and there was a mission within that mission to take a car back to somewhere, and you get more money and XP. But for me personally, I would just have went and did the crime scene thing and then jumped on my bike and went to the next one. I wouldn't have spent time reading shards because...
I started, there's too many.
It's really clunky, the shards, and then on top of that, you've got the Texan as well, which is really awkward. It's a clever idea, but it's really awkward because your phone book ends up with like 60 people in it in daytime, and it's like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'll just go into Keanu Reeves' message and be happy, you know what I mean?
It is very overwhelming, and it's hard to navigate what mission's what, and...
Yeah.
When you get like a text notification that gives you the mission, there might be a picture, but then you go trying to find that. Like, what was that mission that I got the picture and I'm supposed to find this guy? And you go into the missions and it doesn't have that picture attached to it. So then you can't, like, you try to remember these names and it's just the first time you've read the name. And so there's lots, yeah, it's very overwhelming. It's very hard to keep track of things. And that's probably the biggest.
It's very RPG. It feels like that's where the RPG side of it comes in, do you know?
Yeah, but it's done worse.
I don't like RPGs like that.
Yeah, it's definitely the worst version of it, though. That's the problem. It's not polished, that area. But the world itself is reasonably cool, but it feels samey. Like, I haven't really gone too far yet, though, to be fair.
See, I don't know. I think the districts feel different. Like, Chinatown feels like... China.
Is there a Chinatown? Because I've been to Japtown.
Yeah, there's a Chinatown
as well.
There's a Japantown. There's a.
Sorry,
there's
is it actually called Japtown?
I believe so, which feels racist.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's extremely fucking racist. What the fuck?
That's the least of your worries. Trust me, when you start fighting the Russian spies, things get really interesting. it's like the bit with the old roller coaster feels like a rundown version of LA. The Badlands feel like. Like, if you turn around and go to me, like, Stuart, what do you like? And I'd be like, oh, I like Judge Dredd, and I like Ghost in the Shell, and I like... It's like, you can feel all the elements weaved into the world and stuff, and it's like... Because when you leave the city, it's just scattered trash everywhere, and there's a real kind of Mega City 1 vibe to it in a way and stuff, and it's...
Yeah, I got to the outskirts.
All the tonal notes.
I'm doing the tech, you know, the taxi, Deli Man, or whatever his name called, Deliman. The AI taxi.
The AI.
Yeah, so I've started tracking down his spare cars. And so it's taken me right to the outskirts of the town. It's like shanty town type suburbs. But I don't know, like, a good map is one where you can navigate. And I think a lot of video games struggle with this. You just follow the mini map. You don't actually look for, like, actual landmarks to navigate yourself. You always just follow the minimap. But that's all I'm doing, and I just have, there's no frame of reference, and it's just streets, and I couldn't find my way around the block without using the mission guide on the minimap.
Yeah, it's point to point, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's just the,
and that's a shame, obviously, because a good, as I say,
fast travel stuff.
Yeah, a good map lets you learn it, and you could navigate it because you can see where you're going. Whereas there's none of that in this. And maybe after spending 300 hours, maybe. But at this stage, I can't see that happening.
But the problem as well, I found there's, it's like, as fresh as some of it is, it can be, a lot of the non-mission stuff can be turned into, go in, kill six punks, and get a box, and that's it. And it's like, they said, like, each tiny little mission has been handcrafted by an artisan. Yeah, my shotgun in that box, pretty much, this is the 95th time I've done this, mate. Like, again, bang, 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 take the box, done. Cop phones me, thanks, next one. There's some really cool side missions in a way. It's, generally, it's like side missions that are people contacting you are cool, but, like,
the crimes.
The kind of event missions.
Yeah, the crimes.
Yeah, they're very much cookie cutter, and it's a bit kind of like, oh, not again, you know?
Yes,
and then it's like, you don't get the interaction. Like, I read the Trauma Team thing, and I really wanted. I was like, the Trauma Team's a real cool thing. Like, when you are medically hurt, a crack team of spec ops medics come and get you, right, and they blow everybody away that comes near you. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, because you'll be able to play the game and you'll kill guys, and maybe the Trauma Team will come for you, but they don't. I've seen Trauma Teams helping people in the game, like their own. They're no, like, it's not like a myth. They are there doing their thing, but I've not killed anybody yet, and a Trauma Team's come to get them.
Oh yeah, it's a shame.
And it's a bit like what, like what the hell? And I'm like, that's a bit shit, because it's like this whole thing of, like, it's a cool concept, and but every Trauma Team I've seen, they've got a skill ranking, so they're too high a level for me to even fight.
Yeah.
It's like, oh well. Nice knowing you guys.
Yeah. But, well, see, so Brian, what the events, it's like the Spider-Man, when you're swinging around, there'll be like a random crime happening. And so you can be cruising to a mission and a little blue star will appear. But it's really, like, it feels like you're not doing anything, because you just, there'll be some guys and like, are these actually bad guys? Like, it's real unclear. And so you just start shooting dudes who you don't know have done anything wrong.
They just look like gang members. It's like, oh, there's a gang member. Bang, bang. I'm done.
And you kill them, and then there is like a notification saying you've succeeded, but there's so much happening on the screen that it just feels like it's over, and you're like, what did it actually happen? Is this all a dream? Like, they're not really distinct events. Like, you in Spider-Man, you know you're beaten it. It's very clear you're beaten that event, whereas it's very unclear when you fight these guys what, and you're in the middle of a gunfight and more notifications will pop up saying you have to collect an item, evidence, but it's easy to miss it because you're busy shooting all these guys. And it's a bit, yeah. I feel like I'm not really in the world. I'm kind of playing the world. I honestly 150% believe this should have been a third-person game, and it would have been 100% more immersive.
I have no problems with the first-person.
Yeah, view. I think it is more preference. Like, I'm not a first, but I find first-person in general not immersive, and in this game specifically, I would prefer to see my character engage and with the world and interact with the people, whereas I just feel like I'm looking in a window into this world, and it doesn't feel...
Yeah, some kind of...
It doesn't feel...
Mass Effect-style thing when you're talking would be good. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, you just talk to people, you're just hitting boxes. It'd be nice to see the camera pan out to you sitting there, because you do a lot of sitting. It'd be nice to see you kind of sitting there talking to somebody, kind of looking at them.
Like a fly on the wall kind of camera view or something, like, you know, like, pulled out. That would be good, but I even just think third person in general. One, I hate just, it's a loot game. I hate walking around with my nose to the ground, clicking, picking up guns, picking up items.
Oh, everything. You're just, everything can be picked up.
Yeah, you're looking at the ground constantly and you're not seeing this world. Like, I was looking at your pictures that you shared and it's like, I've never seen that because I'm always looking down. Like, I've never seen the city because I'm always looking down.
Is it skyline? That's madness.
I have a very important question for both of you.
Do it.
Have either of you had the bug where your character just T-poses with her bare ass hanging out while you're driving?
Split second, and I mean split second. Like,
no.
When I'm gunning it on my bike, you get like a frame where they kind of pop and then they pop back, but it's not enough. It's not enough to make you. You kind of. It's one of the ones where it's kind of. It's that. It's that Fight Club moment where he splices in the cock in the frame, and they're like, "Oh, it's that kind of."
Sure. You know, yeah.
It's the same as the glitch where the junk pops out. Well, I'm playing as a female, but. It's the same. Well, I'm playing as an androgynous female who has no junk, and is. I'm basically playing Ghost in the Shell, the purest version I can make. But apparently, the junk can clip outside clothing and stuff, and people have been finding that's happened. They'll be kind of. I don't quite understand how you can find that out, because you don't actually look at your character in third person unless you're on a vehicle. But they're finding that they're. Bits and bobs. I did have a weird glitch early on where I went to my house and I went to the cat. I was like, I stumbled into my apartment, went to the mirror, and my trousers were missing.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I've had parts.
Why am I naked?
When I've been wearing a hat, you look in your mirror, and I look in, and when I've got a hat on, and it just makes my character bald, like it takes away the hair. I'm just like, because you got a hat on. It just, yeah, it's...
But they're no major glitch. Well,
nah, they're
maybe
funny.
Missing pants is a major glitch. But, I've seen some major...
The worst I've had is I've had a floating cell phone like in the first opening bar scene.
Yeah, cell phones, iPads, cigarettes.
And guns. I've had like soldiers run in to help someone and then like the guns just stay floating in where they were. And I've had it crash three times, I think. So again, it works fine. We've been complaining about all the problems that everyone else has had, but in reality, it still works fine. I just don't think it looks as good as it should on the PS5. I really want that update to come so I can take advantage.
I've not had any of the cool glitches. Like somebody called, I've seen a video where a guy calls on a bike and it just falls vertically through the sky and blows a car up in front of him. And it's like, what the hell? How'd that happen?
Oh, I did.
There's the one.
I did have.
The guy walks. Have you seen the one where you walk out, the guy walks out the house and literally a car comes flying across the city and kills him? like barrel rolling through the sky. And he walks out and he just looks and he's like, you can tell the guy's playing it, he's looking at it and going, that's a car, I'm dead. It's really weird.
See, you get a car by default, Brian, and you used it as part of the mission. Like the first time you see your car, your buddy drives, and it's to kind of introduce you to the whole driving of the city kind of thing. And so you're just a passenger. Okay. And then it has a mission. It's like, oh, call your car, just to kind of teach you how to call your car, you know, basic kind of stuff. And then you don't have to drive around the block. It's a really short distance. And that's the only time I used my car. And then it opened up and let me do whatever I wanted. This is the first time you get to go use the open world as such, like still very early on. So I call my car for the very first time for my, like, other than that first little example, and it rocks up with no doors, smoking, like the bonnet's all bent up. I'm like, what happened? I've used this car
It's been at a party and you've called it to get you.
Yeah, it was just that's and then I used it, rocked up to a mission, spoke with someone, and then left the conversation, turned around, the car was gone. And I'm like, what the heck? Summoned it again, and it came back fine. So I have no idea what was going on, but that's like the funniest glitch I've had.
I've had my bike, like today, I was under a freeway, called it, and it ended up on one of the off ramps, way above me. And I'm like, yep, that's good.
I wonder if my bike run
me over on times as well, which is quite fun. And I've also had my bike drive right by me. Bye. it just drives down the hill. Because you run out, your bike comes, you run out, and it hits the brakes, and it does a wee endo, and it stops, and it, because I've got the Kira bike, it kind of pop, the handlebars and that pop out it when you jump on it. But I ran out to get my bike and just kept driving down the street, and I'm like,
come back!
Bye. But I'll walk. I'll just walk.
It's fine. It is very complicated. Like, I'm still trying to work out the menus, to be honest. Like, even all the upgrades you've got, there's just so much option.
It's clunky.
It's very really clunky.
And it doesn't teach you.
Well, I've got all these.
Teach you very well.
I've got these parts. Like I started, got really early. I don't know how I got them, but because there's so much picking up. I got, like, Mantis blades, and I'm like, how do I equip these Mantis blades? Because I chose a perk.
You need to go to a chop doctor and install them, because I've got the rocket launcher arm.
Well, that's the thing.
It's like it replaces your. See, mine's replaces my grenades, so yours would replace a melee weapon.
Well, that's the thing. I believe, because you go and you can see what the doctor, the Ripper doctor, and you can see stuff that you have, but that's not an option. So, what I can work out is I need to do an arm upgrade and then attach that to the arm upgrade, because I had eye ones as well. And then I worked out that, no, they're not actually an implant. They're an upgrade to an implant.
Mm.
So I'm thinking the Mantis blades are that, whereas, as I say, like, it doesn't explain any of this to you, and it's a bit confusing, and there's just a lot going on.
Yeah, it's dense. It's really dense. It's really, really dense to get into, like, unless you're just like me and gonna just shoot stuff and think you're in Ghost in the Shell. It's just like, yay!
But even that, the shooting's not that good.
It's alright. I've got a sniper rifle that'll pop a heed at 500 yards. I'm happy.
Yeah, see, I've only found assault rifles and handguns. And then I feel bad killing people, so I've turned my handgun into non-lethal, so I just run around with a handgun.
Oh, you use the mod?
Yeah, because I feel bad killing these random people.
Oh, no, I kill indiscriminately. I'm like some kind of pandemic in Night City. I just kill indiscriminately.
You are the coronavirus.
Just run about shooting everything. Oh, shoot that. It's fine. I'll come back.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we should talk about something that Brian can participate in.
Yeah, I've actually been waiting to talk about something that happened in the news while you guys were talking about Cyberpunk. It's fine.
Is it Cyberpunk related?
Is it what?
Is it Cyberpunk related?
It is not Cyberpunk related.
Holy shit. Actual news, isn't it? Wow.
So, as you all both know, one of Donald Trump's finest achievements as president of the United States was forming the United States Space Force.
Nice.
Right? So today they announced.
So today they announced
what the members of the Space Force will be known as. So, like, say, like the Air Force or the Airmen or the U.S. or the soldiers or whatever, or the Army is the soldiers or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The members of the U.S. Space Force will be known as the Guardians.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's just copyright. Get Bungie on the phone.
Like. I've never felt like a great amount of patriotism or desire to join the military.
Now
but
you
what
do.
If I was a guardian?
Exactly.
What if I was a guardian?
Brian, enlist. Have you guys seen that Steve Carell comedy, Space Force?
I haven't, but I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Like, I hope they do a season two. It was very good. You should watch that, Brian. That'll get you ready for signing up.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, that's I've been waiting for the entire time you guys were talking about Cyberpunk to tell you this.
Funny. I guess we kind of transition to what we've been playing. Do you want to? Are we
going
to do that
today?
Yeah,
that's
fine. Or we do now?
Destiny. I guess I haven't been on to talk about Beyond Light. We haven't done a podcast where Beyond Light has been out that I've been on.
Any good?
So I was a little underwhelmed until the raid came out, and then they opened up the other half of the expansion, and now it is fucking awesome. The raid is top three raids in Destiny. Top two, maybe.
And there's like 18, isn't there? So that's pretty good.
There's 13 or 14.
I wasn't far off.
Yeah, yeah. It is fucking awesome. You get to go to space.
Hold on, isn't the whole game in space?
Like you go outside in space.
Oh,
like you are in like the vacuum,
zero,
and it is fucking sweet. Yeah, I mean there is gravity, but that's because you're like near a space station. But anyway, yeah, great raid, great game. The stasis powers are very cool. Throwing ice blocks at people and then sliding through them to destroy them and kill the people that I threw the ice blocks at will never cease to be fun. My main class is the Titan, and one of the Titan aspects is with the new stasis subclass is they get like a super ice slide basically, and it is super super fun to just slide around like a maniac.
Nice.
But you know, it's still Destiny. Like you're still doing the same things that you do in Destiny. So if you like Destiny, you will like it. If you don't like Destiny, you're not gonna like it. So Stuart, just stay away. It's fine.
I have it. I just don't choose to download it or play it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's on Game Pass. So if you aren't sure if you're into Destiny or not, download it on Game Pass if you have Game Pass.
I've got Destiny 2, and I've got a code for. Beyond Light and stuff, and
yeah.
My mate's playing it, and I'm just.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, like it's not gonna change your mind if you're not into Destiny already. Like it's not gonna like convince
Destiny
you
boat
to play
set
it.
Sail. Long
time
long
ago. Yeah, see, I'm.
What's the other games to play?
Yeah, what else have you been playing, Brian? Anything else?
That's more or less it. I haven't, you know, had. I've been. You know, working a lot and have had a lot of stuff going on with the house. So, it's, you know, all I have time to play is Destiny. I don't have time to play other video games right now.
Yeah, but to be fair, you probably spend a lot of time playing this.
Right now I do because I'm, I guess I can say this on the podcast. Right now I'm in contact tracing because I was in close contact with someone that I work with that has COVID. So,
free holiday.
I got a free week off of work, which is pretty great.
Yeah, that is good. Hope your ring is okay, though. You sound fine.
Yeah.
This is medical opinion. Sound fine.
You're good.
Back to work.
It's still, like, it's so different, like, to comprehend, because we just don't have it here in New Zealand, because...
You've declared you're a free state, haven't you? I saw that a couple of weeks ago. Last week, was it? Your PM was like, New Zealand is a free and prosperous land of milk and honey. No one has corona. There is no corona here.
Yeah, so...
It's like, great.
So it's just a weird thing, just imagining that, even knowing someone has it. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know anyone in New Zealand that I know has got it, so...
Just rub it in, why not? Just rub it in.
So I hope your ring's okay, Brian. Good. But you're talking about the raids, remind me, I haven't really talked about the Ghost of Tsushima raids. So I played the first one. It was fun, but I kind of don't think I like the raid style. Like, it feels like they're all following the same design philosophy, even though they're completely different games to Destiny. But what I have played of the Destiny raids and what I've heard of them, it feels exactly the same. And it just seems... It's weird. It's kind of like the Battle Royale genre now, but raids are now a genre in video games. They all do the same puzzle mechanics and the same... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like having to work things out. I just want to fight. So I had fun enough. We had me, my son, a friend, and we got a random guy jump in to help us, and so he was our guide. And my friend had played it once before, the raid. And it just was just kind of weird just being told what to do. But at first his mic was so quiet, like we died like twice in a row, like right away. And I was like, dude, I have no idea what you're saying. I can't hear a word you're saying. Can you do? Because he was just like just doing it and trying to explain what was happening, but I couldn't hear a word. And so it made it really weird. He was real patient and real good about it. Like, but I don't know. I just don't know if I really like Ghost of Tsushima. I really like the online edition, but I was really excited for the raid, but I was a bit disappointed overall. It wasn't, yeah. I'm keen to do the other ones, but just the time commitment, I guess, for it. You can't just do a match in half an hour. It's like a 2-hour thing. And it's hard to commit that time and get four people together to commit that time.
Right, yeah. I mean, especially at 2 hours. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, what your first couple raids in Destiny, like, will be that long, but... Once you and the people that you play with, like, know what you're doing, you can, like, we run through the new raid already. Like, it's been out for, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
For a month, basically. And we already run through it in 40 minutes, generally.
Yeah.
You know, because we all know what we're doing, so it's just, like, execution, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I guess there is an enjoyment to that. I guess it's just, yeah, I was super keen to play it because I've loved everything else in Ghost of Tsushima, and it wasn't as enjoyable as I kind of was expecting. Because they kind of make everything so hard that it completely changes the mechanics from the rest of the game, if that makes sense. And then you're dealing with weird puzzles, like the jumpy puzzles. It's like, what's up with jumpy puzzles and raids? Like, stop making me jump around things. I've got a sword, let me fight things. And yeah, so I guess that stuff... It feels kind of samey. It's the same with the Battle Royale genre. Is now everyone's doing it. Even Worms is doing it. Oh, have you guys played the Worms game?
I haven't played that Worms game. It's the Worms Battle Royale.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good, but yeah, it's the same genre. And I think as any game is going to do it, I think it works quite well for Worms, turning into a more of an action game rather than a turn-based. So yeah, I've played a few times with Odin. It's not bad, but again, it's just the same. Every game's now doing that Battle Royale. And it seems like raids have become very formulated.
Battle Royale thing's kind of dying out. It's not quite at its height that it once was. I know what you're saying, but I don't think it's quite as... We're not getting as many newcomers to the fray.
Well, that's the problem. We'll get the dregs of it now, where people are like, "Oh, we're gonna jump on the Battle Royale wagon," and then it comes out way too late.
What do you mean, and you're not gonna play Cyberpunk Royale?
Well, maybe. That would be quite funny.
It's coming. So I imagine it would, and they'll spin it off as a kind of one of the TV, the wacky TV shows.
Oh yeah, there's a TV in the world. It's a very progressive world there, Brian. Cyberpunk. It is
sure. Seems very progressive.
the whole world itself is very sex, drugs are very forefront to the marketing in the game. All the billboards are there's like a TV show that's advertised on billboards. It's like The Whore or something. It's about like a prostitute TV show, and you just see posters of it and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot going on in the world. Sin City.
That's why I was saying I'm surprised there's no one uproar about that stuff, but that'll come in time.
Yeah, no one's seen it yet because it's all glitching.
For the best. For the best.
Yeah, anyway. Anything else you've been playing, Stuart?
You know me, I play lots of things. New COD update, new season, yay. Rebirth Island, it's reskin of Alcatraz. Played Cold War, it was alright, it was alright. Played Zelda Hyrule Age of Calamity, was alright, if you like Zelda.
I've played some of that, I forgot I bought it.
They released Master Chief skin in Fortnite, so played the new Halo, was alright. Although they also released Kratos, which I think is probably one of the most jarring crossovers ever, because realistically speaking, they probably should have released his boy and know him, because I think he maybe get away with it just a wee bit more, because it's kind of a kid's game and you've kind of put an 18 plus character in here.
Well, that's what I argued with someone, and they're like, oh no, the demographic for Fortnite is 17 to 30 year olds. And I'm like, that's fine. But there's also 8-year-olds playing.
Or 7-year-olds playing, for God's sake. I mean, there's kids.
Yeah.
It's why you play it, because it's nothing better than beating a couple of kids.
And
up.
My argument was, that this person was also saying, it makes logical sense, because the demographic, you know, there's a huge demographic who play Fortnite, and it's good marketing. It's like, it's a sad state of affairs if game developers are relying on Fortnite to promote their games.
I'm not promoting Halo, that's for sure.
Did you say it will or won't?
I'm waiting for Johnny's... here's Halo, by the way. Halo's new for another year and a half.
Well, exactly. Well, that's
year
true.
And a bit.
That's true. But that's the thing.
I'm waiting for Johnny Silverhand to appear. See when Keanu Reeves... Hold on. John Wick's already in it. Come on. It's only a matter of time before Johnny Silverhand appears. I wish I was joking. But I don't know. Is it a badge of honour? As I was saying to my mate, it's sad because there'll be kids out there who think Kratos came for Fortnite and Chief came for Fortnite, and when they see God of War, they're like, that's the guy for Fortnite, he's in game. It's like, no.
Yeah.
What
do you think of it, Brian?
But
of
the characters being in Fortnite,
including all these licenses, especially this season seems to be this season seems to be very license heavy, because I think it's Kratos, Chief, Daryl Dixon, Michonne for The Walking Dead, and I think Inklings are coming for.
Oh yes, I knew there was a Nintendo.
I didn't know that any of these things were in Fortnite.
Well, they are now.
Literally no attention to that video game.
It's the way. It's newest Halo, mate. If Master Chief's in it, it's a new Halo.
It's a new Halo. It's
a new Halo.
It still looks better than Halo Infinity.
It's damn right. You're damn right. And I love the fact whenever I win, I always message Halo on Twitter and go, look, I won a match in Halo.
But just see, imagine, Brian, now you got Kratos, the God of War.
You're playing the new God of War. It's the new God of War.
He's God of War.
Then it's the new God of War.
Doing the floss.
Hell yeah. We like Fortnite.
Or some other kind of nonsensical thing. Also, you can build a hell of a good wall and a ramp and stuff like that, if that's your bag. Fucking hate it. But anyway, fandom, the price of fandom is always paid. What else have I played? Sekiro Rise to Ruin, there's a curveball. Fuck me, that's a good game. That's a good, good game. Take a side-scrolling beat-em-up and blend it with a hardcore farming sim. It's really good, and nobody's played it, and I love it because I played it, and it's really good, and it's probably going to be on my Game of the Year list, maybe, but it's really good. Don't sleep on it, guys. Get on it.
What is it?
If you like rice.
What is it called?
Sekiro from Rice to Ruin.
It's Sakana of Rice and Ruin.
Ah, depends. Oh, come on, you're knocking my translation.
Sekiro, so it's not...
It's not Sekiro. It's not a fucking From Software game. It's a farming sim / side-scrolling beat-em-up, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
I think you'll find I've said
Sukuna.
Correct in my second.
Man.
is it Sukuna or Sakana?
Sakuna. Sakana, okay. is fish. And it's K-A. Sakana. Yeah, I think so.
Jesus Christ.
Man, you saying Sekiro is confusing my brain.
No, it's not Sekiro.
That's what you said.
No, I said Sekiro, not Sekiro.
I don't even know.
Anyway, it's a good game, right?
It looks cool.
There's a joy in the mundaneness of farming rice. Well, sorry, there's a mundaneness in having to clear the patch to then seed the rice, to then water the rice, to then watch the hyperphonics in the rice, to then pick the rice, to then mill the rice, because if you mill the rice too much, something happens. If you mill the rice not enough, something happens. To then dry the rice. It's a really interesting thing. It's good. 2 thumbs up. Oh, yeah. Kakamari Damashke re-rolled, I've played. It's just a nice... It's been HD'd. I'll leave that way. Is how the fuck do you HD that game? It's HD'd. It's nice. Panzer Dragoon Remaster. It's Panzer Dragoon. Nice. If anything, it's made me realise that game's not as good as what my mind told me it was when I was a kid. It's lovely. It looks lovely, but oh, Christ, it's fucking bleak. It's not bleak. It's just really... Here it comes. It's really on rails. A real shooter, for God's sake. It's alright. We also played John Wick Hex on the Xbox. Probably. See, I've played John Wick Hex on the Xbox, but I've also played Fights in Tight Spaces, and Fights in Tight Spaces is a better John Wick game than John Wick Hex is. Plus, Fights in Tight Spaces is made by the same. It's the guy's getting help for Mike Biffle, who made John Wick Hex. So in my head, Fights in Tight Spaces is the superior John Wick title, just without John Wick. You can try a demo it on the Xbox. I think there's like an hour's worth of playing it for nothing. It's good. It's good. If it's one of these action games. It's a deck-based action game. So you play cards to do moves in a set area. It's all right. Played Empire of Sin. It's pretty good if you like XCOM and you like management sims. It's really... I like the combat, not so much the management. You need to manage books and keep booze flowing and stuff. If you watched Untouchables, it's pretty much Untouchables, the video game. It's good. It's a Chicago way. Played 13 Remake. Shite.
Oh yeah, we get it. You played a lot.
13 Remake's garbage, man. You think Cyberpunk's bad? Play the 13 Remake, then come back and talk to me. Really. It's like, they blame the pandemic for it being shit. No, you game shit because you shipped it before it was ready. You changed the art style. Like, all the things to change in 13, you changed the art style. Like, no. Like, 13's all about the art style. But anyway. You know 13?
I think so.
13's based on the Belgian comic about the assassin who washes up upon shore with amnesia, doesn't know who he is.
Jason Bourne.
He's getting chased down by a... pretty much. Although 13 came out in 1984, so... he's framed for assassinating this president.
Sounds like Jason Bourne.
He's played by... He's played by the most charismatic of actors, David Duchovny, who is as for they use the original audio. He's like the most. He's just the dullest action hero in the world. He's like there's no. He's just monochromatic. Like there's no pitch or tone. He's just.
Oh, so he's Hitman.
On the upside, Adam West, God rest your soul, is the general, and I can't hear Adam West but thinking about him being in Family Guy, and he just brings a smile to my face. Stay away from that at all costs, guys. Just don't touch it.
Fair enough.
And you know me, there's what's Sing 21? If you like singing, it's karaoke. You shouldn't sing because of COVID, but fuck them. It's my house. I can sing if I want. Not played much in the PlayStation 5, but although I did order a copy of God Hand today. Ooh. It's not God Hand, it's Godfall, but in my head I can still play that classic Clover game, because, you know.
Did you finish?
I have a copy of God Hand still in the shrink wrap.
Oh,
sitting next to your Persona 5 shrink wrap.
Yes.
I'm really tempted to pull the trigger on... What is it? Wonderful 101. I really want that game, but I'm like, I've heard mixed rumors about it.
I mean, it was great on the Wii U. I don't know how it plays on other platforms now.
But the Switch, it'd be the Switch I'd get it on. I don't think I'd get it on the PlayStation just because reasons. It hits me as a mere Switchy game. I think that's just because the lineage. You know, came out on the Wii U, and then obviously getting on the Switch is kind of like, well. And Nintendo have been doing it for donkeys, haven't they? Just port everything for the Wii U to the Switch. That's how you make a success. I'm trying to think what else I've played. I've played lots of things. There's lots of games. It's silly season. Silly season! Yeah.
That's the problem, having Cyberpunk.
Ask me about games you want to hear about, and I'll tell you what I like. That's the easiest way.
You have way too much time on your hands.
Just... like playing video games and I don't sleep a lot.
Fair enough.
It's a beautiful recipe for a disaster. Tetris Effect. Been enjoying playing that as well. It's very nice.
Nice. Well, do we want to talk about, since it's year end, it's Christmas time, do we want to talk about your favourite game since you've got so many?
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then I need to go bake some cookies.
Okay.
It's not 13 Remake, I promise you that.
Let's knock out a couple, what's the word?
I don't know. You're saying the words, I'm just trying to follow the script.
Honorable mentions, that's the word.
Oh.
I had to pull it out of my ear. I had to actually do grasping motions with my hands to get that out.
What's the word? It's a West show.
Honorable mentions. Stuart, give me some of your honorable mentions.
Thanks. This is actually like disclaimer.
We're just throwing this out like fucking off the cuff, yeah, man.
There's no prep. Like we were informed this was happening like less than an hour and 30 minutes ago. That's quite precise because this cast is at an hour and 30 minutes. So if it's been edited and you're not at that thing, there's a lot of hidden footage that you'll never hear. Special mentions. Gonna throw out one for Zombie Army Trilogy. I like shooting Nazis. I like shooting Nazi zombies.
That's the Sniper Elite games, right?
World. Yeah. It's the spin-offs. 2 Point Hospital. I like pretending I'm fighting COVID in an animated world.
Hell yeah.
Dreams. It's an awesome tool for helping. It's an awesome tool. It's not for me, but I cannot deny that game has real, like... If you're an age and you have ability and skill, that game's just a portal to a world of possibilities, yeah. You know. And I've seen some people doing some amazing things in it. John Wick Hex.
It is crazy.
I know I said it wasn't as good as
it's a good mention.
Fights in Tight Spaces, but Fights in Tight Spaces isn't
anything else?
Really launched
that,
yet,
that what you so got off the cuff?
Maneater.
Man, that game was fucking great. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Do you know?
I'm with you. That game, I like being a shark too. And fucking what's his name from Archer was the
Samurai Jack because it was. I'm trying to think, that's off the top of my head.
Sure, that sounds good
Super
to me.
Mario Collection. which is a remake. No remakes allowed on this list.
It's not even really a remake. Isn't that just a port?
Like, it's not even a straight port. Straight port. Nothing else.
They barely did anything to those games. Although I guess they did allow you to invert the controls in a recent patch.
That makes
a new remake, right?
But that's only if you've played it between that patch and the release. Because if you have only played it at release till that patch, you'll never know.
Seriously? So they inverted them and then just gave you the option, like, if you had played it before the inversion, to keep it the same way?
I'll download it new. But if you play the game new, you'll have that option. But if you haven't played the game since that patch,
sure. Yeah.
Spoilers. I think on a side note, I think if what's going to happen next year is what I think is going to happen, I hope they do the Zelda collection 100 times better than they did the Mario collection.
They won't. They have a fucking history of doing this, dude. Like, think back all the way to the fucking GameCube when they put Link's Awakening, or not Link's Awakening, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask on that disc. Yeah. And, like, they didn't do anything to those games.
Yeah, they don't care. That's the problem.
They don't give a fuck.
No, because they've got enough money and they know it'll make money.
Yep.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, there's my dishonorable mention. Boom, that's what I did there. Professional.
Charles, how about you? What are a couple of your honorable mentions?
I think Minecraft Dungeons is up there. It's not the most amazing game, but just the amount I've played with it and the fun I've had with Odin, it deserves a mention.
Just got a new season pass, by the way, new DLC.
Yeah, I saw that. We haven't finished the other DLCs, but yeah, we've had some fun with it. And it's just a fun dungeon crawler to play with people. And they've done some cool updates. I just wish there were classes. I think I've talked about it before. Rather than having just, it's based on what loot you find, if you could actually build a class and have a warrior type or a wizard type. Like more RPG kind of classes would be cool. But yeah, it's a fun game. Other one, probably, I know, Neo 2 maybe is an honorable mention. I enjoyed that. I think it was better than the first one in a lot of ways. And it was fun.
I feel like you talked about that game a lot this year. So,
yeah, because it's freaking long.
Yeah,
it was too long. That's the big problem.
I remember you kept saying that you were near the end. Every time we would record, you'd be like, all right, I think I'm near the end of Neo 2. Yeah. Like, nope, 30 hours later, still not near the end.
Yeah, it's flipping long. Yeah, I think those would be my honorable mentions. I'm trying to think anything else. Anything else that released this year? Other things? Ni No Kuni I played, but that's an old game. That's not released this year. But
you just wanted to throw names of games at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just throw out some names of video games.
I honestly can't remember what I played. but yeah, those would be okay. The two honorable mentions out of my maybe top five.
I gotta say I'm pretty surprised that neither of you mentioned Animal Crossing.
Nah, it's not.
This was only honorable mentions.
I don't think that's a game of the year. Like, I don't think that's my game of the year. I guess you guys are doing, like, whole lists. I'm not doing a whole fucking list. Lists are work.
What party? We didn't get any prep. We don't even know how many we can.
we talked about this before the podcaster. Anyway, Animal Crossing. That's a game.
We sat you in a room and tied you to a chair.
Yeah,
I guess
told you exactly what to do.
I can throw in probably the Hyrule Warriors. I haven't played enough of it to have it on a list, but what I've played, I'm impressed with, and I like how it ties in with Breath of the Wild. So that's another honorable mention.
I'd throw Carrigan in if I'm getting a chance to throw anything in. Carrigan was brilliant.
Good. All right, what else you got, Brian?
Just
piss out your Carrigan there.
Fine. I don't even know what that game is. So.
No. The one where you're the monster. You're the big monster.
Oh, Carrion. Okay, yeah. That was an accent thing. I got you now. Yeah, I haven't played that game, but I've heard it's very cool. Yeah.
Good. It's really good.
Animal Crossing, of course. Like, it's in many ways, it is the game of 2020. It came out at the perfect time to be a salve for everybody being stuck in their houses, and that was great. But I kind of, I kind of fell off of that game. I don't know how often I'm going to go back to it. But it was great while it lasted. And I will always have fond memories of running the stock market through Discord. Was very fun and different from previous previous iterations of that game. The other one that you guys might be surprised to hear isn't my game of the year is Spelunky 2. A game that I think is extremely good and need to spend more time with, but feels... It's weird, like, it feels just different enough from the first Spelunky that it's like it was like hard for me to like wrap my head around it, if that makes sense. Like, I kept trying to play it like the first game, and you can't play that game the way that you played the first game. It's a very different feeling game. But still very good. Still a game that I will inevitably spend hundreds of hours playing, the same as the first one.
I enjoyed that too.
And those games are coming to Switch. I don't know if you heard that, but that's exciting. I'm especially excited to have Spelunky 1 on the Switch. Nice. Because that game is unbelievable. That'll more or less do it for me. I don't know that I have Destiny. Like, Destiny is just going to be on my list every year. Like, it's the game that I spend the most time playing.
Placeholder.
Yeah. Great game. Love to shoot aliens.
Nice. So how are we doing this? Are we just doing our games of the year?
Yeah. Just give me your games of the year.
Like, in no particular order?
Yeah, that works. Stuart, you go first.
Are we going to alternate?
Fine.
We'll just do all the lists.
Fine, thanks.
We'll just do the lists.
What number are we going to? What can I put?
You can put as many out as you want. Top five.
In no order, I'll throw Watch Dogs in there, Legion.
Oh, yeah?
I like London Town. It's London. I really like the anybody can be a hero mechanic. I know that didn't sit well with some people because they were like, well, I don't feel part of the world. But I love the fact you can walk down a street and hack somebody's phone and see, oh, you've got access to an Uzi. Don't know how because we're in the UK, but you know what? I'm having you do a mission, recruit them, take them out, get them shot, dead. Let's get another body. There's an endless supply of bodies. I really like the recreation of London. I really like the fact that in my mind we are going to be there in the next 2 or 3 years once Brexit is done, once COVID ravages this country. It's going to be a police state and drones will be everywhere. And I just like, don't get me wrong, some of the accents are freaking horrific. They are horrifically bad. I've got a spy who sounds like a Haitian. It's a jarring thing. He's like, oh, I'm a spy. But he's got like, hey man, I'm a total street guy. Like, you'd think, that's not the voice of a spy. But the game's like, you know what? Voice of a spy. It's like, no, it's not. But I like it. If you like Ubisoft, it's Ubisoft. More Ubisoft. More Ubisoft. It's good.
Nice.
Thank you.
Any more?
Even better, now they've patched it. Or we just end them all.
Bang them out.
Doom Eternal. It's just mere Doom, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's Doom. It's just mere Doom. How can you go wrong? DLC for it as well was just rock solid, and it's a game that knows. It's like a game that knows. It knows it's to basically give people a beating, and that's kind of why we love it. Astrobot Playroom. I know it's a demo, but fuck me, that's the future. That's the future. Especially with that thingy sense controller, dual sense controller. It's the future. Just hope that the future catches up and everybody else connected to it realizes it is the future and we get more integration with DualSense than what we've had to date, because I don't know, we're still in the early doors. We'll get to the bottom of that soon. But yeah, it's just a charming, lovely game, and I hope it gets his end game. You know, it's probably the highlight of PlayStation 5 for me at the minute is that demo, which says everything. I know I shouldn't, but I'd probably throw Cyberpunk in there. Oh no, don't hit me, run away! I just like it. It's good.
Right, listen, if you like it, you like it, man. Like, I'm not here to judge.
It'll be great. It will be great someday.
It will be.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But someday it'll be great. And when it is great, it'll be amazing. But right now, I'm just enjoying my time in it. It's fun. I'm trying to think what else there is. I know what my game of the year is, but I'm holding that to my chest just now until I figure out. Like, obviously, Last of Us 2, it's a thing. It's a thing. It was what it was. Last of Us 2 falls into that kind of cyberpunk category as well, where it's really more a case of it's more than a game. It's part of the zeitgeist, and you're part of the environment, you and your pals and the sociality and the Twitter sphere and that. It's more a case of it's like games has become more than just games in a way, because they become events, and like I know guys play them years down the line and stuff, but I think you miss that burning hot take where everybody's just, and I think that's where Last of Us was, like that whole kind of like we all knew what happened, but no, we couldn't talk about it. Oh, we can't talk about it. And just that feeling like it is what it is. It's a good guess. It's a good game. It's a good game. It's a good game. Is that a good game? I don't know. It's all right. It's good. It's all right. But it is Sony being Sony. Like Spider-Man Miles Morales, great game. It's just mere Spider-Man, isn't it? But with a different Spider-Man.
Some may say a better Spider-Man.
I don't like him. He's a whiny wee. He's a whiny wee prick.
He's a teenager. Let him be a teenager.
He's a prick. He's just a whiny wee man. A wee boy. But again, it's more of what we like. 2020, the year of more of what we like.
Yeah.
Safe bets.
If there's one thing that you can hear people say about 2020, it's the year of more of what we like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody just loves 2020. It's the best.
Yeah, it's the greatest year. It was the year of the re-release. But yeah, game of the year is probably... I've not finished playing all the games I want this year. Still got a few weeks to go, but I would probably say right now it's going to be Streets of Rage 4, which was just like wiping your ass with Silk. It was just so good. It was smooth.
Silk doesn't flush well though.
It caressed you. It just gave you what you wanted. It was like a hug from an old friend, which you feel familiar with and cozy, but there's just so much new in it that just tweaked and tuned and animated style, lovely theme tune, soundtrack on point, had some of the original guys back, character selection outstanding. Just if you like Streets of Rage, it's really good. It's probably my game of the year, unless I don't know, MX Motocross GP 2020.
Stop it.
It's not coming close. Sorry to break it to you, but it's not coming close. Twin Mirrors might take it. Unlikely. But yeah, I'd put my money on Streets of Rage 4 is probably up there.
Yeah,
if not there.
I've heard great things about that game from you and from other people, so I'll have to add that to my list to play more video games.
All right,
Charles, how about you?
It's me.
What's your top five? Or
not
so?
Necessarily a specific order, but I think I would
alphabetically, please.
Spider-Man. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing as Miles. It was a bit too short, but. It was fun. I like Spider-Man, the last Spider-Man last year, so this was up there for me as well. And I enjoyed the differences between the abilities and the character. Kakarot, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. It's not the most amazing game. It was fun enough, but it was fun just reliving the story of Dragon Ball Z. And it made it worthwhile. And on my top of my list, because I, if it's not been clear, I love Dragon Ball. Lots and lots. I am wearing a Vegeta.
Judge me now.
I am wearing a Vegeta t-shirt as we speak.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Hell yeah, you are.
Yes, I am wearing. I have a Goku t-shirt. And, I need more of them. I need more Goku.
And you turn around and behold your shelf of
Pop Finals.
Of Dragon Ball Pop Finals.
Yes.
Dust collectors. Beautiful. Each one of them.
Yes. But they make me smile. So yeah, that's up there with me.
Okay, Thanos.
Then I would say Demon's Souls. Mm. Like, Demon's Souls is one of the greatest games of all time. But
I refuse to make a remake, but Game of the Year. I just refuse.
That's why it's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it's not game, like, my top. And I haven't finished it, but it's been really fun playing it again.
And hey, man. There's that secret door, Stuart. They have to get 30 coins.
Technically, it is the only true next gen title.
Yes.
It cannot be Game of the Year because it is fundamentally at its DNA level a remake.
Yeah. But it's.
Just think what they could do if they made a new game instead of a remake. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, as I say, it's been fun. It's been fun. You know, like, we've evolved through the Soul series, and our memories of the past games kind of get coloured by our knowledge now. It's kind of been fun at re-experiencing and realising how different it is to the more recent Souls games. And it's just been fun sharing it with Odin. So it's definitely hit that nostalgia vein.
Twine.
Yeah. Nerve. And it's created a new level of nostalgia for me because now I've experienced it in a different way. And so, it holds a special place in my heart. But then the two games that are fighting for Game of the Year for me, it's really hard. I can't actually decide. Like, I can't. They keep fighting.
We'll decide. You tell us, we'll decide.
They keep fighting over each other. It's Ghost of Tsushima and Final Fantasy VII Remake.
One's a remake. It's not a remake.
It's not a remake. Remake is part of the title.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's lots of weird, like, lore things like around that as well.
Yeah,
so.
It is not a remake. It is a new game telling a similar story.
It's a retelling of it's a reheat. It's a reheat.
It was for a game that was hyped.
It's like when the gravy. It's a reheat because the gravy and peas have got mushed and made new substance.
For a game that's been hyped and wanted for so long.
Talking about Cyberpunk?
But that's the thing. Most games like that tend to come out and not be that well received. For a game that was expected, hyped, and then announced, and then still a big wait, for that to come out and be as good as it was, deserves praise. Like, what other game have we hyped for so long that's actually come out and been actually received well? None. Except this.
I'm trying to think now.
Like, no game. Like, even, like, The Last Guardian, like, the Shadow Colossus people. Whoa. That was expected and waited for so long. And it was fine. And a lot of people do like it.
What was Shenmue 3?
It did leave a lot of people disappointed. Child. And whereas, Final Fantasy 7, it was...
Duke Nukem Forever?
Huh?
Duke Nukem Forever?
Well, exactly. It proves my point even more. Yeah, this game was near perfect. Like, the gameplay was phenomenal. The combat was great. The story, the characters, everything were all presented in a really cool way. The ending still leaves me a bit, I don't like kind of how it went, but we'll see. And then there's Ghost of Tsushima, which was just awesome. Being a samurai boy was great. Mm. I loved it. And adding in the DLC, the online multiplayer, was kind of the icing on the cake. It was definitely Final Fantasy VII before that, but then the addition of the Legends, it leveled it up just that little bit more. It did turned up to 11.
Final Fantasy VII.
Can you do the DLC stuff like with the Legends single player, or is it all multiplayer?
It's with people. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to play, Brian. I might
be down for that. I'm very early in that game, though.
you can just jump into Legends whenever. It's all new characters. Okay. It's not connected to your main character. If you go play now, there's been the update, and you actually find the storyteller, which transitions you to the Legends. So you can actually find them in-game, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's also in the menu. If you go to the main menu, you can just choose Legends. But I do like that it's built in thematically into the game, the whole concept of Legends, that there's a storyteller telling of these Legends of Tsushima.
That's a bit like the Zelda thing, isn't it? How Age of Calamity, once you play as the Guardians, you can actually see what they were like in Chaos Machines and that. It's that kind of...
Yes.
Once you see what
yeah.
the actual a fully operational Death Star can do. That's why it was so good to build too.
Yeah. It's sort of there's a few modes. There is a story mode, and you can't. No, yeah, you're right. There is a story Legends mode, and you could potentially do those by yourself. They get harder.
Okay.
But you can choose the difficulty as well. So even you can do it on the easy.
Do it on easy to balance for the fact that you're a single player.
Yeah. So the story mode is single player. Then there's defense mode, like a wave. You got 20 waves or 25 waves for enemies, and that's four players. And then you've got the raids, which are four players as well. So that kind of added. I really enjoyed the whole story and world of Ghost of Tsushima, and the combat was really good. And then the added of Legends for free was just, yeah, elevated it in my books. But so I can't really, it's really hard to put one above the other. I think it would have to be Final Fantasy VII, though, just because of...
Hell yes.
The feel.
Well, I guess I'll transition that into mine, which is also Final Fantasy VII Remake. We talked about this when we did like a big spoiler podcast on it, but like I went into that game like not thinking that I cared about Final Fantasy VII anymore. Thinking that I just was like, oh yeah, that was a game that I liked when I was in, you know, middle school. Boy, is that game fucking awesome, and do I still think about it all the time and still listen to the soundtrack all the time and still spent like $100 on the vinyl, and I just, fuck, dude, like, I try not to anticipate games, I try not to, like, look forward to video games coming out. I cannot fucking wait for part two to come out.
I keep hoping they could just, like, shadow drop it. Like, oh, yeah, it's out this week.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if they were just, like, surprise Final Fantasy Rebirth, 7 Rebirth or whatever is out, like, right now?
I thought we were going to get a trailer at the Game Awards. I'm not going to lie. I thought there would be a sneak kind of peek.
I think people would people would just be too mad, and they're, like, very sensitive about that. Like, remember when they did the trailer for Final Fantasy 16, and they were like very specific about, hey, this is really early on and this is all we have, so don't expect anything for a long time. Like, they're very sensitive after showing 7 Remake too early to not do that again.
Yes.
Well, the only other trailer I know that everybody wants is Hushed Tones.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about that. They'll come for us in the night.
So you may remember that I had a long held stance that Death Stranding was not a real video game. Elden Ring is not a real video game.
I'm going to go now. I'm here and join you in that, because anything connected.
Exactly.
That guy. That's
Hogwarts. George has a track record, and that track record is not great. So, Elden Ring is not a real video game until it is in my hands, and then it's a real video game.
Well, see, I'd argue that even... Point,
it's fake.
Yes. Even though Death Stranding has come out, I'd still argue that it's not a real video game.
It's still a fake video game?
Yeah, like...
Oh, I would argue...
I swear I dreamed that game. I dreamed it. It
Death
never happened.
Death Stranded is a prequel to Cyberpunk, because you can go Cyberpunk in it now, because of DLC. It's not really Death Stranded, it's just Cyberpunk 1.0.
I was thinking that Cyberpunk is a sequel to John Wick, when you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it sounds like a consensus 2 out of 3 means that Final Fantasy VII Remake is the official Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy game of the year.
Although, if you do go by the rules and remakes can't be Street Fighter 4. Hey, Street Fighter 4 Ultra Hyper Super Duper.
Great,
I'm
great
telling
game.
Mum and
great
Dad,
game.
Ultra Edition came out this year. But yeah, Streets of Rage 4, Game of the Year, because it's not a remake.
Well, we did establish that it's not a remake. Is the name, not the actual.
Yeah, remake is part of the name. It's not. It's not a remake.
It's not a descriptive term. Because
all the arguments they have, it's like, yeah, it's not actually a remake, even though it says it on the tin. Well, you know, it doesn't do what it says on the tin.
It is super Japanese developer thing to do, is to have double meanings behind things and titles.
Yeah,
I can't wait to next year, and some poor soul has to pronounce the Nier.
Oh, the Nier replicant, like version 7.4252X2, whatever. Yeah.
Dash dash. good times ahead.
That's a very cool video game. It's not very good to play though. So unless they make major gameplay changes,
it's a re-release in it. It's technically a re-release, a Japanese version that's been out for like 3 years or so. In
so it's probably not going to be very good to play.
Is this the first Nier?
Yes.
No.
yes and no. Which one is it?
First Nier's the. The first Nier was the one with the guy with the blonde hair.
And that's what this one is.
The sheep.
Right?
No, this is Android. No, this is Android 18, which is...
Android 18 is from
Dragon Ball. it's B2 and HB Pencil.
No, no, that's Nier Automata is 2B and 9A.
Yeah,
and
well, that's the cast that's in this new one.
Are you...
Because this new one's technically a prequel to that, I think.
Are you
so
sure?
Is this addition?
Yeah, 2B is in it, or not 2B. 2B is definitely in this.
You know what?
I guarantee she's on the cover.
Yeah,
I'm looking this up right now.
It's very confusing.
Stand by, this will take a week for him to type in on the
because
all
I know is
I was under the impression that it was Nier Replicant was the original, the Japanese version of the original Nier. Because in Japan, there were two different games. There was Nier Replicant and Nier whatever the one with the grandpa was.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure that this Nier Replicant is... Nier Gestalt was the other one. Nier Replicant and Nier Gestalt.
I just know that the main character for the original Nier was different in the West than he was in Japan.
Yes, yeah, and that because we only got Nier Gestalt in America.
But also, just that blonde guy you mentioned earlier, in the American one, he's a big buff guy. In Japan, he was a slim.
No, like, they're different characters, Charles.
No, really?
Yes. Nier,
you know what?
Nier Replicant is the Bashonen fuckboy, and Nier Gestalt is the buff grandpa.
Okay, this just solidifies my reason not to like Nier.
You prefer Farm.
Yeah, definitely. Rover, like from Sesame Street. Yeah.
Yes. Ah.
The longer I've been away from Nier, or what it was the recent one?
Automata?
Automatic Tomato.
The more I dislike that game.
Okay, interesting. It's a strong opinion.
Just it was fine. I really enjoyed playing it at the time, but just the longer the story sat with me, I'm just like, I don't care about these dumb robots. Like,
right. So
the robots didn't make you cry, Charles?
No, not at all. I did. I thought it was good.
Okay,
it's over.
Fair.
So apparently, this version is actually is like Nier Replicant.
Yes, it's
version 1.2.
It's basically
an upgraded version,
a remake of Nier Replicant, which was the Japanese version of Nier that we never got because they didn't think that the Bashonen fuckboy would sell in America, so they gave us Buff Grandpa instead.
Is 2B in it?
No, I don't think 2B is in it.
Cover art?
I think they just look similar.
They just, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the main character's
the
sister or whatever.
It's the blonde hair.
It'll be some dumb thing that
throwing me the white hair.
2B would be based on that. This person is probably some dumb thing like that.
I feel we're spending more time on this than any other podcast in the history of podcasting. So I'm concerned now. We've maybe picked our the big title for next year's.
I think
which our most anticipated title. We've already covered it.
Yeah, guys. It's clearly near replicant version 1.22474871139.
And if you phone that number, it's a hell of a good pizza joint.
That's true.
2B will deliver it to you.
Yeah.
It is literally one number too long to be a phone number in America.
What? Depends, yeah. Depends where... How many numbers is it?
It is 11 numbers with the one... Or, it is 12 numbers including the one.
Well, maybe it's international. You got to add extra numbers on the front.
But one is the U.S. country code, right? So... One is the true. First number, so yeah. if they didn't have the 9, it would be a phone number.
Well, in the future, they might need to add one more phone number.
That's true. It's a fair
so
point.
It's a futuristic phone number. You've got to wait 30 years before you can call it. Okay, this has gone way too far.
Yeah. Let's stop talking about near replicant and near gestalt.
I was going to say we missed the where we were talking. To date this, we missed the Nintendo Direct of its Super Mario World in Okasaka.
Super Nintendo World. Apparently they're going to put one in Florida. They're trying to build one in Florida now too.
Oh, it's tiny. Have you seen the sky views there? It's a tiny wee... It's no... People make it as if it's a big, massive theme park. It's only like a corner of a theme park. It's quite dense for what it looks like, but it's no like an epically big park.
They have mushroom-flavored popcorn, apparently.
It'll make money.
It'll make a lot of fucking money, dude.
Yeah. Apparently, I was reading about it. Apparently, you got a wristband which you can interact. You can like punch blocks in the park to get coins.
Oh yes.
That you can redeem for points. It's basically like it's kind of like they took the Lego sets, the go-karting set, and the fucking Labo stuff, mushed it all together, and spat it on a Fitbit. And created a magical land of wonder. Just a pity nobody can go to it now, you know what I mean? Because the world would be fucked.
I wish they'd built stuff like that here in New Zealand.
It's not really... Is it really a thing? I mean, is there a big theme parks in New Zealand?
Nope. So we could do with one. We get a lot of people from overseas, so I think they would do well.
They're all here to see the Hobbit world.
It's just a patch of grass with some holes in it.
All I can say is that I can't wait for Near Replicant.
Good.
I'll put it on my list. It's on my list. Good tangency. Wouldn't it be us without a bit of tangency in the 11th hour?
Wait, what if it ends up being like awesome? And we all look like fools.
What was awesome?
We'll see.
What if Near Replicant is awesome and we all look like fools?
We'll see.
Oh, it probably
but
will be awesome.
It breaks the rule of you can't...
can't be a remake.
I refuse to have a remake as Game of the Year because... Uh-oh, hold on. We're back into the... Just to put any concrete why we can't. Among Us won 2 awards at the Game of the Year awards this year. Among Us was released 2 years ago. So by that nature, Titanfall 2 should be winning Game of the Year. In some people's eyes, not in my eyes, because I fucking hate Titanfall 2. But it's an argument to be had. Why have Game of the Year contained to 1 year? Why not have it for eternity? Do you know what I mean?
It makes it very hard to decide a winner then.
Because technically, but that's the thing, like, the Among Us thing's a port. It's not even a remake, it's a port.
I mean, my game of the year all year is a Spelunky, right? Like, if we're talking about game of the year forever, like, it is just, I will just say it's Spelunky every time.
We could have game of the decade, game of the generation, do you know what I mean? A lot of places are doing that, the game of the generation.
Yeah,
well,
fuck that, that's too much work. It's Spelunky.
Game of the Generation, it's Rainbow Six Siege. Easy.
It's Spelunky. It's race still would be these two. I don't know. I'm a simple man. I tend to like what's in front of me and forget what's happened in the past. So,
agreed.
It still would probably be these two games. Yeah.
Well,
I know.
Final Fantasy.
I think that's Bloodborne a podcast.
Yes, it is.
I was going to say Bloodborne. Yeah. Bloodborne's good shit.
It might actually be Bloodborne. Bloodborne's probably the game of the PlayStation 4 generation.
Yep.
Great game.
Still say Rainbow Six.
Well, by a 2-1 majority, Bloodborne wins. Game.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We got a 4-4 thing here. We got a stalemate breaker.
No. I'm the stalemate breaker. No. And I...
You ever tried editing a podcast with 4 people? It's murder. 3 people. It's doable. Before. Sorry. It's not happening. Not tonight.
Yeah, it's like a murder of crows, a murder of podcasters.
On a side note, just to before we end up here, any use of Google Stadia?
No.
I signed up for the free trial like near the beginning of COVID, but I haven't used it since then. I canceled my free trial when it was up, and I didn't pay to continue using it.
Because I was reading today that apparently, hold on to your hats. Apparently, Cyberpunk plays amazing.
That's what I've heard.
On it,
yeah,
on the iPhone.
Yeah, I've heard it actually plays super, super well on Stadia.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, well, they're saying the iPhone's like the purest version of
Okay.
Good times.
Which is quite interesting, considering Apple dug their heels in about it. Like 6 months ago, they were like, we're not having a Google platform
on anything.
But that's a weird one. So there you go. We've went full circle, people.
Yeah, welcome back to Cyberpunk. Age. Welcome back to Night City. Is that what it's called? Night City? Nice.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Yep. They've not just got a city to burn. They've got a whole fucking game of trash and all the dumpsters. The signs were there. How could we not see them? I mean, because they were breathtaking. We were all taken back by a superstar.
Stuart, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me in Night City. You can find me under FuryAC3 on the socials, gaming, thingy me bobs, or running about as Master Chief in 2 weeks.
And if you, yeah.
Playing Halo.
If you live in Scotland, pick up the Scottish Sun, read Stuart in print.
Yes, there are words. I give an honest review on Cyberpunk today that isn't a review, it's more a thought piece. There's no stars awarded. No
good. Stars. 0 stars. Charles, where can people find you on the internet?
I think you need to fly us into the nearest to end this. you can find VaderVanOden.com.
All right, you can find me. Find me at Wade Bryan R. You can find the podcast at Gamers Galaxy Pod on Twitter or at GamersGuideToTheGalaxy.space.
Yes,
space.
GamersGuideToTheGalaxy.space. Yeah. And I guess with that said, there's only one last thing to say on this podcast.
Have a happy Christmas.
Okay, there's one more
happy
thing.
Happy New Year.
Okay, one more thing after that. Have a happy holidays, Christmas.
A crazy Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
A solemn Ramadan.
Yeah, whatever you celebrate. You know, have a good one of it.
Whatever deity brings you presents.
Don't don't get COVID. That would be good. Don't buy Cyberpunk. Return Cyberpunk if you have it.
Yep, that's a limited offer.
And, yes, you can only do that until December 21st, so get on it. You only have 3 more days as the Cyberpunk podcast is being recorded.
Yeah. This is a time capsule. If you're in the future, we warned you.
Yeah, we told you. We tried to tell you. We warned you, bro. We warned you about the stairs.
This is a one-sitting podcast. If you cut us and listen to us on Monday and finished it on Friday, I'm sorry. It's byway.
And finally, don't forget your
gamepad.
Get
your gamepad.
Nice.
Phoenix Immortal Rising is a great game as well.
That's not even the name of the game, isn't it? Immortals Phoenix Rising?
Gods and Demons. Changed his name.
Yeah, you got the
stop,
name wrong.
Stop.
I've got that, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, catchies.
Oh, I thought we already ended that.